through the book of Hebrews. We've been going through the book of Hebrews for some time. We're in chapter 11, so you can say it up to 11 weeks. Plus some, since we have gospel meeting and singing nights, and so we miss out on a couple days. And so we want to turn to Hebrews, and last week we had simply did a little introduction into chapter 11 as we looked at verses 1, 3, and 6, and just pointed out a little bit about faith. And since it's going forth and talking about men of faith here, it went and talked about how faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We talked about how through faith we understand the creation of this world. And then, of course, verse 6 brings out that without faith it is impossible to please our God. We must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And so this evening, we want to continue in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But I don't believe I got the time to go through the whole chapter. And so I plan and hope to get through verse 22. Get through Joseph, and we'll pick up with Moses. Again, next week is singing week, and so the week after. But there's plenty just to talk about as it goes through, and it goes in a little bit of detail talking about these men of faith and the example that they set for us. And so, starting with verse 2, though, because we did not look at that verse on last 2 weeks ago, it says, "For by it men of old gained approval." And talking about faith here. "For by faith men of old gained approval." And so that's where it kind of starts into talking about these men of faith as we go through. And again, Hebrews 11 is, and the whole book of Hebrews, as we may go through it, is a good point to show that we need to know and understand our Old Testament. That without understanding and knowing the Old Testament, we're not going to get very far through the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the ways in which God used to speak, talks about the prophets, prophecies that had been made, and here it goes forth and lists all these men of the Old Testament that if you do not know it, you do not study it, then you are not going to know it. And this first part today, mainly just Genesis for this very first part, and then as we pick up and finish this chapter throughout the entire Bible. So we know that through faith these men had gained approval. So one of the first men it makes mention of here is Abel. Abel being a man of faith. So to speak about Abel here, read with me verse 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." And so Abel had faith. And again, there's not a lot when we talk about Abel and going to his story in Genesis. Going all the way back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 4 and going and looking as Adam and Eve had their sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain went forth and made his offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel going forth and bringing his youngling, his lamb, and making the sacrifice to God. And as you read that account, though, it brought out that God had, I don't want to say it correctly, so I'm going to go over there in Genesis chapter 4, and in verse 3, it says, "So it came to the course in the time that Cain brought the offering of the Lord, the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of the flock and their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offspring, but for Cain and his offspring, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.'" And so as we look at that example, we think about Cain and Abel, and there's not a lot of detail. We don't have any idea on what God had possibly asked for sacrifice or any instructions on what could and could not be given and to this point of sacrifice. But when we bring out this verse here in Hebrews, just to the point that Abel made a sacrifice of faith, we kind of get a mindset, an understanding that God likely did give some kind of instruction, whether it might have been that needed to be a blood sacrifice, or the way they went about making the sacrifice, or their attitude about the sacrifice. One way or another, don't know what it is, God likely said something, because we have that verse, Romans 10, verse 17, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There was something within that relationship of God to Adam and Eve, or to Cain and Abel, that instruction and understanding was given, and what was going to be an acceptable sacrifice. And so through faith, Abel made the sacrifice. And again, when we think about it, there's not a lot to his story. He don't have a lot written about his life in the Word of God. But yet, we have this part at the very end of this verse that he still speaks to us today. And a mindset of, again, something we'll go to and teach about murder, about hate, about loving your brother, and here in Hebrews, about faith. And so, the example that we can have on somebody, even if it's a small portion, small thing, and mindset of men, and mindset of not having a lot said about him, he still speaks to us today. Still something in which we look to. And because of his faith, he obtained a testimony that was righteous. And so here we start off with Abel and his sacrifice. He made a sacrifice that God regarded well, believed it to be good. It was unto him unto righteousness as it's brought out here. And again, we can look at the example as God spoke to Cain, and knowing that there was a right and wrong. And that Cain could have made it right if he'd offered things well, if he'd done things correctly. But he chose to allow that sin that was crashing at the door to take over him. Another example of someone that doesn't have much written about him is Enoch. And as you might read this, and again, Josiah saw me going over this on the computer, and goes, who is Enoch? And I was like, well, there's not a lot said about him. It simply isn't, because it's one of those things, it's one of those chapters in which we just kind of glance through and may even skip over completely, other than we go, well, I know Manasseh, he was the oldest person, you know. Very few things, but it makes mention of Noah and his sons at the very end. Here in verse 5, if you read along with me, it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Not Manasseh, Methuselah. I'm saying the wrong thing. Right? And so, as we think about Enoch, not a lot of detail given to us. He is listed there in the genealogy as it's leading up to Noah here in Genesis chapter 5. It simply talks about him, talks about who his dad was, talks about who his son was, talks about how long he lived here on earth. But here in verse 24, it says Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. And then Methuselah lived, you know, to be 187 before he had Lamech. And so, as we think about Enoch, what details are given to us? But yet, God uses him in Genesis. And God uses him here in Hebrews to make mention of his faith. That he had such a faith that he walked with God and that he did not see death. He was pleasing to God. I can't stand up here and tell you that Enoch was a preacher. I can't stand up here and say that, you know, this is a good deed that he had done. What we can tell you is that he was a man of faith so much that God took him out of this world, not allowing him to see death. We can tell you that he might have started, one of the things I saw in the commentary is reading for here in Hebrews brought out that maybe his walk with God started when he had his son Methuselah. You know, and that might have helped him lead in mindset of knowing that he had to lead his son. But again, that's just speculation. That he started walking with God so much that God favored him and allowed him to pass on from this world without dying. God taking him up and then not finding. Enough that it's made mention for us to sit back and think, are we walking with God? Do we have such favor with him Do we think that we have that kind of relationship with our Father up above? So Enoch was a man of faith, even though we don't know much about him. And so, one we do know more about has some detail, a couple chapters to him, with Noah. And we have that in verse 7. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for salvation on his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And so, Noah. Kids know the story of Noah. Maybe you've taught the story of Noah yourself. And it's more than one of those comments. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to experience. Noah was a man of faith. But he was warned of a thing not yet seen. Again, we can start making speculations of what all that means. Does it mean he never saw a flood? Or better yet, he never saw a worldwide flood, because there's never been one. So how far do you go? Did they never see rain before? That's a possibility. You know, again, there's a wide variety of points that we try to make here and try to speculate on what is it that it's referring to that Noah had not seen. And all that is, I'm going to go at least the mindset that he had not seen a flood. And so as he's preparing this ark, and no one's ever heard of a flood or even such a flood that's going to flood the entire world, let alone if they've seen rain, but, you know, if the world's been there for a while, it might have rained, or maybe it doesn't have rain in this area. But they have seen something as what God has spoken of. And so could you imagine trying to wrap your head around that? I mean, today we have videos, we got YouTube, and we got news, and we get online and go see hurricanes and floods and see how bad things can get. And so, therefore, we can put a little bit of an image to what God was saying to Noah. But even though Noah had not yet seen anything like this, he took that warning, and it says he moved with fear. He went ahead and did as God had commanded him to do so. As some in my translation says, in reverence, prepared the ark. And so, a lot of bringing out that fear in some translations, or here in reverence, knowing who our God is. He did as God had told us. He prepared this ark, and he did it in the way in which God had commanded him to do so. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, there brings out he did all that he commanded him. Again, we often might use this as an example thing, and again, there's no way to sit here and say, well, but I mean, just by every other example we have in the Word of God, we get caught up in saying if he had made it too short, he had made it too long. He had decided to mix in some other wood besides the gopher wood. Would that ark have floated? Would he have survived? Would him and his family be the example that they are today? No, we don't believe he would, because, again, we have to do things by faith and we have to obey and keep his commandments. And so through Noah, we have this great example of obedience and obedience over years, period, of building this ark. So much that God was moved to save mankind. Because he destroyed everybody else. It was through Noah and his descendants. Then he makes the promise to never flood the earth again, giving us a rainbow in the sky. I found it interesting as I studied for this, something I don't know that I picked up before. Maybe I had read over this before, but it brings out that Noah, in the Old Testament, reading from Genesis chapter 1 up to Genesis chapter 6, is the first one that attained righteousness in words that we read from Genesis. Now, we know that Abel was attained righteousness from Hebrews 11, but in the Old Testament, if you're just reading Genesis 1 through 6, this is the first man that it makes mention of. I'll have to double check that. I could be wrong. That's what I found in the commentary of the study for this. And then 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, again, there makes an excellent point about Noah and his righteousness. It brings out that he was a creature of righteousness also. It says, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a creature of righteousness, with seven others, and he brought a flood on the world of the ungodly. And so, Noah was a man of faith. And through his faith, it brings out one other point in this verse, is that he had condemned the world. Again, not that Noah himself condemned them, not that Noah himself set judgment on anyone. But just as we go through our lives today and we live a faithful life to God and we shine God's light, we are in essence taking God's teachings and in one way, as it's speaking here, condemning the world, and to the point of, you know, they question, well, why is he and she dressing modestly? Why don't they speak incorrectly and using curse words and swearing? Why don't they get drunk and do these other things? Why do they go to services on Sunday? And in conscience, we are, just by living our lives, just by Noah building the ark and doing his preaching and doing what he was supposed to do, condemned the world. But again, it's God's teaching that is what condemns them. And us living faithfully to it, that we are trying to shine light unto others. So Noah being another that is a person of faith that we read about here. And so moving on from there, when we read it, verses 8 through 16, talk about Abraham and Sarah, and then verses 17 through 22, it still continues with Abraham, but adds in Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph as we finish up the lesson for this evening. And so verse 8 brings out, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to the place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of the promise and foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even one man, and him as good as dead at the testimony descendants, as the stars of heaven in number, and the innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died without faith, receiving the promise, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of a country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And so as we talk about Abraham and Sarah, again, this covers most of the rest of Genesis, right? As we go through and talk about their life, and as it goes through and eventually gets to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. But they had a lot of faith, starting with leaving their own land. You can go back to Genesis and read about it. As God called them out of the land, they leave Ur and go a little distance. And as you enter to the next chapter, they have to leave where they were there. And I'm not going to say it was the town with an H. And so as they journeyed on out, but again, going back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, remember that our faith is not just in believing in God, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob are great examples of those who are focused on the reward that they have not seen. Focused on the reward that is yet to come, because even the promise that is being made to them is a promise that they're not going to receive. And that's one of the points we'll be bringing out more in detail here. But they're going to go to the land and wander in this land, sojourn in the land that is promised to them, but yet not receive it for themselves yet. They are, as some may say, sojourners, other translations may say, alien in the land. They are the strangers. They are the foreigners in this land. And mindset, if I believe in what God is saying to me, this will be my descendants' land one day. But knowing that he himself is not going to receive it. And so taking upon himself, believing in God. He gets up and he leaves. And he wanders in tents. And he wanders in tents and leads his way even to the point of leading his own children, Isaac and his grandson Jacob, to do the same thing. For they are also in the same promise. How many of us could do that? Being told, get up, go here, and one day you'll receive your reward. Better yet, one day your descendants will receive your reward. Abraham got up and left. He left and followed faithfully to our God. In verse 10, it brought out that he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And again, so we know there's a lot in that promise that was made to Abraham. In mindset, we know that he was sojourning in that promised land as we go back to verse 9, the land of Canaan, and that there is Jerusalem that we can talk about there in that city. As we look at verse 10, and it goes in a little more detail there of a place that's architect and builder is God, can't help but think that that's more speaking of the New Jerusalem, speaking about that city that is in heaven. And I think as we read those verses that go along with us, as we continue to talk about them, it goes in more pointing us towards that direction, that Abraham had that more mindset of a place. Because again, Abraham wasn't going to receive any of this land himself. Abraham knew, and Isaac wasn't going to receive it. Jacob didn't receive it. Not one of them. They had the promise of descendants growing, that all nations would be blessed through them. Though they even received this land here, eventually their descendants would receive it. They still look forward to something even greater than just the land of Canaan. But they look forward to that city in which God was preparing for them. And so we have verse 11. Here it says, by faith, even Sarah. I think way too often when we think about Sarah, we go back to Sarah and say, well, Sarah laughed at God. Right? That's what we remember about Sarah when we talk about the birth of Isaac. That she was caught, God called her on it, she tried to deny it. And then we often forget to say, well, in the chapter before, I believe it's in chapter 4, Abraham laughed first. Abraham had laughed already also. Me, myself, 100 years old, my wife, 90 years old, we're going to have children? And then we know that they also tried to take it into their own hands. Sarah brought in one of her servants, and Abraham went along with it. They bore a child through Hagar. But somewhere in there, along that point, after being punished a little, being talked to, Sarah gained a faith, is what it says here. Yes, Sarah laughed, but Abraham laughed also. Abraham's considered a man of faith. Sarah is considered a woman of faith. Sarah, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful. I remember, even when we make mistakes, we can go through and talk about these men and some of the mistakes some of them have made. You can still be a person of faith if we repent and make our lives right. Yes, they had done wrong and trying to take it into their own hands and fulfill this promise instead of allowing God to do it when he decided to do it. But afterwards, they made it right. And through her faith, she was able to bear Isaac. And so in verse 12, we have, so therefore, there was born even one man, and him as good as dead, that many descended as the stars of heaven and the number and the innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And so again, therefore, by faith, they were able to bear a child. And through that one child, even though, again, as it brings out this point, Abraham and Sarah, good as dead, 190 years old, they're up there in that age frame that they were able to bear this one child. And through this one descendant, again, Israel grew to a great number. But even greater than that, on how we are children of Abraham today in faith, that the descendants have become as the stars in the heaven, and as the sand which is by the sea. They get their hands through faith and believing in God. And again, it'd be interesting to ask Abraham, what did you think? How far did you think this really was going to go when God made this promise to you? Right? Alright, yeah, numbers of the stars, the sky, so hundreds, thousands. Sure, we're going to receive some part of this land. Verse 3 says, all these died without receiving the promise. They had not yet received the promise. Yet they were faithful to God. They continued faithfully to Him. But having seen and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And so it wasn't just exiles here in this land that they were supposed to eventually receive. They were exiles on earth. Again, a mindset that there was a great relationship of Abraham and God. That he understood of a greater city, a greater place in heaven. For those who had said such things as clear as that they were seeking a country of their own, again, a physical, established country, it brings out that they could have returned back to the land if they wanted to. That's all that they were focused on. They could have went back to the land, and since they had grown so much already, they could have received it. And then they could have received their inheritance from mom and dad. But they understood it was more than that. They understood that it was more than that. So you have verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed. Again, this is such a great statement to think that God might be able to say that about me, say that about you. God is not ashamed to be called your God. Do we have that kind of faith? Are we at that point that we think that God will say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your kingdom? That we have confessed our faith of Christ, that He is willing to confess of you to our Father up above. That He can say that He is not ashamed to call you a child. Not ashamed to be your God, to be leading you. He has prepared a city for you. So continuing to talk about Abraham and leading up to his descendants here, verses 17 through 22, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And when he had received the promise, was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, and Isaac, your descendant, shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, which he also received him back as a tithe. So just stopping there and thinking about what is being said here. What took place? God, Abraham's at that point that he's getting so old that he's considered dead. And then he finally bears this child, and his child is growing up. And then God says, I need you to do another thing. I need you to sacrifice your son. You need to take him over here and make him a sacrifice. He's going to be the sacrifice. And again, in details, we have no sign that Abraham hesitated. And as we read through here in Hebrews, it says, hey, Abraham understood that God said it was through this child of his that this promise is going to be fulfilled. He understood that it was going to be through Isaac. And so it wasn't that God would give him another child. It wasn't that God was going to do something different and change the plan. But it must be God has the power to raise the dead. He has the power to resurrect my son. Because God's not going to break His promise. And even though how hard that must be and the suffering that his child might go through, he had to be faithful to the Father up above in order that this promise would be fulfilled. The faith that Abraham had to go through with this sacrifice. Again, why he is a righteous man, why he is listed here in a man of faith. And we have so many more verses upon him. than some of the others. And so that leads us to Isaac here in verse 20. As it reads here, it says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. And so Isaac gave his blessing, and of course, how that all went about with his sons and them not being so kind to one another. But Isaac, with the things to come, again, that means Isaac understood that there were still promises to be fulfilled from God, because the promises yet to be fulfilled. They had not yet received the land. They have not yet grown to the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. So he understood that the blessing was still being there, and so it went on to Jacob, and Jacob blessed Joseph as he's able to come to Egypt. In verse 21, it brings out that by faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. So even at the end of his life, as Jacob is dying, he passes on his blessings to his children and to his grandchildren here. But also make mention that he is leaning on his staff. So he is so bad in health that he's not able to stand up on his own. He's not able to get up that well. And so he leans on his staff and worships our God. They were men of faith. And again, we know we can do full studies on each and every one of these men and go into more detail about them. And Joseph and all that he had went through, his brothers throwing him in the pit, his brothers selling him into slavery, him being thrown into prison. And yet he continued faithfully in God's service. All the way up to the end, even when his father died and his brothers still didn't have faith in him, saying, promise to us that you're not going to kill us or throw us in prison or do us harm now that our father is dead. They thought for sure he would still do something to get payback. But he never did any of that, but rather he warned them. He made mention of them leaving Egypt. He told them to make sure you take my bones with you, because this is not where God's children dwell here in Egypt. You guys are going to receive that land of promise one day. So we have that there in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus. The sons of Israel gave order concerning his bones. Again, years down the road, when God finally delivers them. Can you imagine doing that? God's going to take care of this. I need you to do something for me. Don't forget my bones. Great examples of men of faith here. And again, we're not even through the entire chapter. We'll pick up with Moses next time we come back into the book of Hebrews. They followed faithfully in the service of God, and they're a great example to us. And as chapter 12, in mindset as we continue through this, chapter 12, verse 1, says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness, we've got such a cloud of examples of witnesses that we can look to. Are you living faithfully to God today? Are you a man of faith, a woman of faith that is doing their part in the service of God? And if you have yet to obey the gospel, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can make your life right tonight. We can assist you. We let it be known as we stand and sing.